Thanks for listening to Faith Worth Following podcast channel with evangelist Stacy Bonet. To stay connected, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, or connect with us online at faithworthfollowing.com. May your faith increase by today's message.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hallelujah. We've been talking about growing up spiritually. Hallelujah. How many know there are pains that come with growth? Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. But if growth is not your goal, let me tell you, you're already dying. And you got to know that. You got to know if you're not growing, you're dying. That's why it doesn't matter how old you are. You need to keep growing. Growing in your faith, growing in what you're doing, growing in and producing fruit. Amen? That's the ultimate goal, produce fruit. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about that today. But, you know, just praying in the Holy Ghost, man, it does so much good. If you don't pray in the Holy Ghost every day, I want to encourage you. This would be a great start to understanding how to grow up spiritually. You know, he who sows to the Spirit will reap of the Spirit. Just that one line should completely change your whole mentality. Because what you try to do in the flesh, in the arm of the flesh, happens so much quicker in the Spirit. So much quicker. You know, we had a long week. We had a very long week. We were working both there and here at the same time. We were long hours. Felix and I, we were going to bed late every night. And, you know, I knew the day was going to be late yesterday. We got in about 1:30 yesterday, or this morning, 1:30 this morning. And I knew it was going to be late. So I woke up Saturday morning, and I was just like, Lord, I got to have a message for the people. I want to have the fire of God on me to give to the people. And I just said, Holy Ghost, what is it what you want me to say? I'm telling you, I sent Pastor my notes. I wrote like 6 pages of notes in like 7 minutes. And it just came out of me. And I was so happy. I just got up. I said, I'm good. I'm ready. Where are we going today? You know, let's go. And Felix was like, what's up with you? I said, I just love when I don't have to figure out what I'm supposed to do, toiling and, oh, what would be smart to say. I just got to obey the Holy Ghost. Well, see, this is every day for us. Every day for our lives. If we're not led by the Spirit, we're led by something. We're led by this body. We're led by senses. But, man, if you would just learn to get up, and you don't have to be good enough or qualified. Let me help you today. You don't reach a certain spiritual standard to say, now I can pray in the Spirit more. You start where you are. You start right where you are. Because why? When God sent Jesus Christ, according to Galatians chapter 3, he sent Jesus Christ into this world to destroy the works of Satan over your life so that you could receive new life, and then you could have the promise of the Holy Ghost, which is what? God living on the inside of you. And so when you get that key, everything changes. So I just want to help you. It's not what I'm preaching, but I want you to understand. Just start somewhere. Maybe your syllables are la-la, sha-sha. Maybe you don't have a long prayer language. It's okay. Do you know that when babies begin to speak, their language is only a few words? But guess what? They grow up. They begin to speak more and more language comes. That's why the Bible says, out of your belly flows rivers. But guess what? Something has to bubble up first. Some of you who are seeking the Holy Ghost, listen, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost today. Some of you who are seeking the Holy Ghost, he's already filled you. You just have not released your mouth. You know, you have to give utterance to what's on the inside of you. It's by faith. It's not by something that, you know, I make up or something. No, it's something I mimic of someone else. No, it's something right here in the innermost belly. And I begin to just say the syllables that come up here. And guess what? It just flows and then more flows and then more flows. And after 30 plus years, that's why my language might be longer than your language. So don't get discouraged. Be encouraged. If you feel a bubbling up, man, say that bubble. Amen? Why? Because this is how we grow up spiritually. Paul said, I pray in the Spirit more than you all. Well, I don't know about you. When I read his writings and see what he accomplished and see what he was able to fight off and not bow down, not give a temptation, I say, hey, I want to be like Paul. What did Paul do to get where he got? He prayed in the Spirit more than you all. See, this is not a lifestyle that we, you know, celebrate Paul's life like a hero of the faith that we can't walk in. You can have what the Bible says you can have. You can do what the Bible says you can do. You can go where the Bible says you can go. You can operate in what the Bible says you can operate in. But the measure you receive is what you walk in. So I want to encourage you today. Be of good cheer. You are not left out. You have the same ability to walk in the Spirit as our pastor. Amen? Doesn't that give you good joy and confidence? I'm telling you today, praise God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. I gave you all that time to get there. I'm just going to take my time today. I know some of you are looking at the clock and you're like, oh, dear God, Stacy's preaching. Here's the thing. Not because, you know, I know we got a good church. You guys are supportive of me and love me. But, you know, I take my time. Praise the Lord. And the hour is already late. 11:21. Aw. That's our anniversary. All right. I feel like my mom right now. Okay. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12, hallelujah, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, let me say that again, for though at this time you ought to be teachers, I'm going to stop right there. Why? That's my whole preface, that's my whole goal of this message today, not to make us feel condemned, but understand this, if there's an ought to, there is a should be. In other words, if we ought to be at a place, then we have a measure we need. We have a goal. We have a target we need to hit. If we ought to be something. See, we read teachers there, but don't miss the context. Don't miss what he's talking about. There's a place that God has for you. There's a purpose that he wants you to walk in. There's a will that he has for your life. There's provision and blessing. There is true purpose of God's plan and his vision. There's ministry gifts within you. And guess what? You ought to get to that place. See, Paul's preaching here. You ought to be teachers by now. But that's not to condemn them. It's to show them, hey, God doesn't want you to stay the same. He saved you for a reason. He rescued you for a reason. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light for a reason. And so if there's an ought to place, I want to get to that ought to place. But here's the key. We got to figure out how do we get there? Because if we ought to be somewhere, we got to get there. You're going to miss every target you don't aim for. You know, that's what I'm always encouraged with, even in El Salvador. You know, I just decided I'm going to accept what God's called me to do, whether it looks like and whether how I feel in the moment, how inadequate I feel. But if I will just get down in my heart, I'm going to attempt great things for God. I'm just going to attempt. I'm just going to give all my attention to. I'm going to give all my money to. I'm going to give all my time to. Why? Because of what he has done for me. So I'm going to attempt. And I'm going to step out in faith. And sometimes, man, it just doesn't go well in my eyes. But that's where I realize I don't do this work for me so that I can boast. But when we get in that mentality, that's what happens in our lives is we allow pride to step in because we want to be able to boast on what? Things that we have, nice clothes, cars, houses, our families, our perfect relationships. It's like, oh, look what we have. Look what we've done. Look where. And at the end of the day, if it's false, if it doesn't fulfill us anyway, why are we even trying to continue in the arm of the flesh when everything that God wants to do through us is attached to this right here? You ought to be living in the Spirit. You ought to be more than where you are today. But I'm not saying that to bring us down, but to show you, hey, if you still have time today, as long as it's called day, you still have a chance. You have a chance to do what he's called you to do. You have a chance to be who he's called you to be. You have a chance to lay down that sin. You have a chance to be cleansed by the washing of the word. You have a chance to pick up the fire of God and run this race. You have a chance. As long as it's called day. Well, guess what? Today is a good day to serve the Lord. Today's a good day to read this scripture and say, I ought to be better than where I am today. So what do I got to do to get to where God has me? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to keep reading. You ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the first principles. Say first. Of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Righteousness. Say righteousness. Do you know how we're unskilled in the word of righteousness? We don't realize that we're made righteous. And the only way we're made righteous is that we repent of dead works. See, some of us around here are walking around in dead works. What do I mean? The same works you used to do before you knew Christ. You're living as if it doesn't matter. You're living, the Bible calls it, Paul calls it in later on in Hebrews, in chapter 6, he said you're indifferent. What does that even mean? I had to look that word up just to make sure I knew exactly what it was. Lack of interest. Lack of interest. You have a slight or a faded attitude towards the things of God. I'm going to help you today. I know that's the anointing of God on my life is to help you. Why? I don't want you to struggle with what God has already made you righteous in. And it's the very first basic principle of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why it's the greatest news that you could ever receive. That it's not about my works and what I can do. It's what he's done through me. He has forgiven me. He has cleansed me. He has washed me clean of my dead works. It didn't matter what I did, said, or how much I disappointed him. He loves me so much that he forgave me. And he gave me a new heart that's responsive to him. That's why when pastor's up here preaching and I feel convicted, why? Because my heart now responds to his voice. I know what to lay down. Because when I'm preaching or when pastor's preaching or someone's preaching, that conviction comes on me and I'm like, man, I gotta lay that down. What is that? That's the first principle of the gospel. Repentance from dead works. What's in your life that's not producing? Repent of it. It's so easy. This is why I love the gospel, because all it takes for me is faith to believe that God will do what he says he will do in my life. And this right here, Paul is teaching us the most basic principle. The reason why we're not growing is the number one principle of the gospel. We are unskillful in understanding we've been made righteous. What does that mean for you? You got to walk in righteousness. You got to clothe yourselves in righteousness. It's something that I choose every day when I look in that mirror. When I wake up, when I rejoice. That's why it's so important to know who you are. Because growing up spiritually has everything to do with the word that you receive. Not hear, but hear and receive. That's why James says, hey, you got to be a doer of the word. You can't just hear the word and deceive yourself. See, some of us in here, we sit week after week after week, and we hear the word. Faith comes to us. But guess what? That faith becomes dead faith. Do I need to re-preach some pastor's messages? There's some dead faith going on in the lives of people when they hear the word, and they allow that conviction to hit them. But yet, when they walk out these doors, there's no action. I want to tell you today, you've got to put some action to your faith. Faith in God and being skillful in righteousness doesn't mean you're out here trying to work hard enough to be good. It just means you accept what he's done for you. So I don't have to live addicted. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going to be addicted no more. I'm done. Why? Because your growth, your development, where God wants to take you has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with, are we going to be skillful in righteousness? What's righteousness? Knowing who he is, knowing what he's done, and knowing what you have because of what he's done. It's so simple. But yeah, we make it complicated. We think that we have to do and work and measure up. But I'm realizing the more I just lay myself on the altars of God, he does the work for me. I wake up, I get up, I open my eyes, and I realize I don't even want that anymore. I don't want to talk like that anymore. I don't want whatever it is for you. But you have to position yourself in these areas to grow up. It's not going to just come by, you know, walking in here every Sunday. The Bible says we deceive ourselves. Why? Because we look in the mirror and then we walk away and we forget everything we just saw. That's what he compared to hearing the word. He's not talking about a mirror, people. He's talking about an analogy. You sitting in here, hearing the word of God, is like as if you would walk and look in the mirror, turn around, and you completely forget what you look like, so you got to go again. But he says, those who look at the word in this perfect law of liberty, there's something that's different that happens on the inside of you. Because now you're not looking at a mirror that you, well, I don't know what I look like again. I got to go again. Nope. Now you realize I know exactly who I am because the perfect law of liberty has set me free. Set me free from what? Dead works. You don't have to sin. You don't have to be in sin. You don't have to choose sin. Do you know you can walk out these doors and decide I'm not going to do that anymore? Why? Because I'm free from it. Not because, man, I'm going to try. I'm going to really try. You've already failed. You've already failed. Don't say I'm going to try. Say I'm done. I'm done with dead works today. Because when we choose his glory, his righteousness, man, we become perfected. And that's what I want to help you with today. Say help. There's a place that you should be, and this place is bearing fruit. Verse 14 here says, listen, solid food belongs to those, hallelujah, who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Man, that's a curse word to some of us. Exercise. You mean I gotta exercise my senses? Yes. That means when you hear the Holy Ghost, sometimes it's the voice of your pastor by the Holy Ghost, talking about things we gotta lay down, things we shouldn't do, things we should have avoided. And this right here is how you exercise your senses. You don't turn on that type of music anymore. You don't watch that stuff anymore. You're exercising your senses, or you are desensitizing your senses. What do I mean by that? The more you watch it, you're just desensitized. It doesn't bother you. Oh, well, you know, that doesn't affect me very much. I'm not really convicted. I know you have a strong conviction about that, but it doesn't bother me. That's indifference. You have no reverence. You don't understand what God wants to do through you, in you, for somebody else. Every time he talked about this, do you know it wasn't for the person, but it was so that you could save yourself and those who hear you. See, that's how I live my life. I watch my father live his life for other people. I don't mean for, you know, pleasing people. You know him. He does not live his life to please people. He lives his life in service of people. So that I will find myself at the end, not embarrassed of what I've done or made of myself, but I will actually say, look at the fruit, God, that you were able to use my life because I was willing to lay it down. Why? Because that's exactly what Jesus asked us to do. Will you lay your life down for somebody? It's not about what you can get to be more blessed. It's that the blessing runs through you. The Bible says the Abrahamic blessing is upon you so that you can be a blessing. I'm blessed to be a blessing, right? I'm helping you this morning understand something. It's a choice. It's a choice what you walk in. It's a choice what you receive. It's a choice what you do. And he showed me how to live that. He says, if you will just look out and think about the people, you won't sin. And I started living my life like that. Why? Because I always ask myself, is someone watching? What would someone say about this? If I respond this way, would they hear something that they could mimic or follow? Or would they hear something that, man, I don't want to be like that? See, you know the people, the life of people by their fruit. Who hangs around them? The Bible says the same like spirit attracts. And what Paul's teaching us here is, listen, you've got to be skillful in your senses to understand what is right and what is wrong. And stop desensitizing your senses so that you don't feel convicted. Now, do you know conviction came from the form of someone telling me sometimes what was right and wrong? And I didn't like that. When my mom would tell me, we're not doing that, we're not watching. I remember my father. He told me, we're not going to the movies anymore. I'm like, what did I do to deserve that? Just because you went to the movies and watched something that you didn't like? I wasn't convicted about going to the movies. I wanted to go to the movies. But see, what he did in my life was taught me how to be skillful to understand and sense when it was right and wrong. And guess what? When I became of age, well, what I thought, when I was not in my parents' home, when I was in college, I started going to the movies. I thought it was so great. I was like, man, I missed out on all these movies. I went to the movie, man, the first movie I went and saw was, I don't know, some love movie. It was clean. It was nothing wrong with it. I felt good. Then the second movie I went to, I remember. Oh, I sat there with my friends. First GD that popped up. I mean, it hit me. It hit me like nails on a chalkboard. Like, what am I doing? Now, mind you, I'm living in sin at the time. But something on the inside of me knew I got to get out of this place. Why? He had taught me how to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost because of what was being taught to me. And I trained my senses by the doctrine, by the word, by what came out of a mouth of someone who is living a life that I'm headed for. That's why it's so important to know who you follow. Because you will follow and you will continue to produce after its kind. It's the law of and principles of God. That's why you're made in his image. You're God-like. You have God personalities on the inside of you. I mean, don't let me go down that road. But here's the thing. It's not because of who you are. It's because he never desired to dwell in this sanctuary that was built by a builder. He decided and longed to dwell in people. Why? Because you're made in his image. You're made in his likeness. And we have to realize, I decide the measure of this word I walk in every day. And it's based on my choice. Paul said it like this. We ain't stopping you. He said it, one of the Corinthians. He says, we're not prohibiting you from moving forward. You are limiting yourself by your own affections. You're cutting the call of God off on your life by your own desire. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with who's leading. It has everything to do with the choices we make. And I want to encourage you today. Growing up spiritually is not about time. Some of you may, you felt you like you've lost a lot of time. You've walked away from God for so long. I want to tell you today, God is a redeemer of time. He says, what would used to take years and years and years, he can do in days. Why? He's that zealous to use you for his glory. He wants to make a sign and a wonder out of you. He wants to show and mock other people that have talked down to you, that have talked about you, that point fingers at you, that would tell you you would never do this, you're always going to be like that, she's always had that attitude, he's always talked like that. This is what happens. But Paul says, no. You have to understand, if you will begin to position yourself to let someone train you, what else are we here for? I am not here because I have nothing else to do, and it's something that, you know, my parents taught me, and I'm just going to go to church and check the box. Now, maybe some of you, that's why you're here, but that's not me. I am here to hear the word so that faith can come. I'm here to honor the Lord with my first fruits. I'm here to honor the Lord in the sanctuary with my family. I'm here to see the corporate anointing hit this place. Why? Because when brothers dwell in unity, the Holy Ghost pours out for a work. There's so many things that God wants to do, and it's always to do through you. But you have to, right here, receive that you've been made righteous. Receive you're not addicted anymore. Stop walking like a dead man. Right? Stop walking in dead works. Just repent. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hallelujah. It's one page over. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6. Am I helping somebody this morning? Man, there's so much. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 6. So he says in 5, you ought to be, but somebody's got to teach you again the basic principles. And then he says, be skillful in the basic principles. So let's read the basic principles. Hebrews 6, 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles. This should be a clue of what you should study first. When you receive your newness of Christ and you want to begin to walk in victory, I'm helping you today. This is what you should know. Why? Because right here he said this is the elementary principle of Christ. Let's go on to perfection. What's perfection? Maturity. Growth. He's telling us here, hey, I want you to keep growing, but you got to perfect these things. You got to know who you are. You got to know what you have. You got to know what this mouth can produce. You got to know that you've been made in the image of God to produce after its kind. You've been made as a seed on the earth to do what? To win more souls. He's trying to help us today. I want to move on. I want you to get to where you ought to be. Isn't that what he started with? You ought to be here, but we're not here. Why? Because we got to keep going back to the principles of the gospel. What's the principles? I'm so glad you asked. Right here. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. That's the foundation in your life. This is what we should be doing every day. You should be building a life of repentance every day. When you wake up, and there's going to be a day when you wake up and you go to repent and you say, I have nothing to repent for. I have not used my mouth ill. I have not been mean and ugly. I have not, you know, sinned in the flesh. I honored God yesterday. And guess what? You can do it again the next day. This is what he's saying. This is a lifestyle. And it's not something that you have to work for. It's something that you wake up and you just realize, you walk in, you step in. Hey, I've been made new. Sin isn't my lifestyle anymore. But I clothe myself in the righteousness of God. Listen, I'm helping you today. Stop getting the mindset of sin. Stop picking up that mindset of old works. You are a new creature in Christ. Amen? This is what he says. Listen. Not laying the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands. I don't understand why this is part of the first principles, but yet we have people don't believe in laying on of hands. If you are in here and you don't believe that, listen, I just helped you. He just taught us. We should not even be arguing about these basic principles because they're so basic, we need to move on to more meatier things. Which is doing the work of the ministry. Let's keep going. Let me read it in the New Living. Let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds. So good. Is he talking to the church or the lost people? He's talking to us, the church. I'm helping you today. We need to live a lifestyle of repentance. And what was the second thing? Faith. Faith is a basic principle of the gospel. Faith in God. What else does he say? You don't need any further instruction about baptisms. Again, I'm not sure what you believe today, but I'm helping every denominational mind today. There is called baptisms. There is a baptism in water, hallelujah, and there is a baptism in the fire of the Holy Ghost. And he's saying here, we should not have to keep going back over. Listen, when you went into that water, that old man, just like Jesus, died on the cross. When you went down in that water, you left your old man there. How many got baptized last Wednesday? Amen. That's awesome. But guess what? That old man is in the grave. And so here he's saying, do we have to keep talking about the baptism? Listen, that's done. Same with infilling with the Holy Ghost. He's talking about it. Laying on of hands. Here's another. He calls it a basic principle. We're sitting here trying to figure out, well, I don't know if she should lay her hands on me. Hallelujah. Today might be your day. Of resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. The rapture. And of eternal judgment. Eternity. We're going to live in eternity somewhere. And hell is just as long as eternity is in heaven. Why am I telling you this today? Because in order to grow up spiritually, we have to understand this basic principle. We got to be a repented people. Repenting means we admit and we turn and we never go back. That's repentance. What are all these other things? Baptisms. Our old man is in that water and I'll never pick him back up. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'll never deny the power. What? For what? Every time he convicts me, I let that fire burn me. I put my life on the altars of God. I say, God, burn out whatever you don't want. Whatever don't please you. Whatever attitude I have, whatever mouth, whatever words I say, maybe it's something I'm doing. Maybe it's the career that I chose. I don't know what it is for you, but I do know this. The more you lay your life on the altars of God and allow this basic principle of the gospel, this Holy Ghost baptism fire, get on your life, man, you will come out a different person. You want to ask, how do I grow? Basic principles. Live a life of repentance. Live a life of understanding why the baptism is so important. Some of you, I know by the Spirit of God, you were convicted. You said in your heart, man, I should have been baptized. I haven't been serving the Lord. I came back to God. I want to now live in the light. I want to live for God. And that pride just won't let me get dunked again. I want to encourage you. Don't dismiss the voice of the Holy Ghost. He's trying to lead you and guide your life to what? It's like that door I'm talking about. In order to get to where God wants you, that place, that ought to be by now place, you've got to understand this is stuff that you got to know. It's stuff that you got to live. It's stuff that you got to work out. It's stuff that you have to receive. It's stuff that you have to pray through. It's stuff that you have to understand, not with the natural mind, but with your spirit. And if you'll grab a hold of what I'm saying to do today, this ought to be is somewhere where you're going to be, where you can wake up and know I'm exactly right in the middle of the will of God. There's nothing I'm doing that he's not pleased with. These are the basic things that I'm talking about today. And so, God willing, we will move forward in further understanding. Praise God. Now, look at verse 7. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears fruit for those whom by it's cultivated receives a blessing of God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it's rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Say better things. Listen, today is a day of better things. Why? Because we don't reject the basic principles of the gospel. We receive the principles of the gospel, and we're ready to move on to what God has for us. Better promises. A covenant that is sure. Something I don't have to weigh and, well, I don't know if I really believe this. Believe it. Because the same measure that you believe and receive of this word, I'm telling you today, you're going to walk in that. But he's helping us today. He's saying, listen, don't allow the thorns. Do you remember those passages in parables? I don't have to go back to it. Mark chapter 4, the sower of the word. That's why some of us, Paul says it like this. They all heard the same spiritual word. They all drank the same spiritual drink. They all received from the same power. Yet some laid low in the wilderness, which means they died in their temptation. Why? Because not all receive from the word. But see, today we are a body of believers who's growing. We see the fire of God on you. We see the vision of God on you. We see everyone in here being a part of the greatest outpouring of souls that we've ever seen. We see your families being blessed and prosperous. We see your families being able to funnel money and talents, machinery, things through the gospel of Jesus Christ for what? For the work of the ministry. We see you rising up as one of the greatest nations. Why do I see that? Because it's a prophecy. In Isaiah, it tells me the tiniest of people will become a great and mighty nation. And that's what we see at Abundant Life Church. That's why we don't think small. That's why we don't stop. It doesn't matter what we see in our natural. We cannot stop. But we can't go backwards to the basic things that we're trying to get you to year after year and year. Why don't you just step into the baptism of the Holy Ghost today? Why don't you just step into, hey, you know what? I'm laying that addiction down because it doesn't belong to me. I'm going to be free of this today. Why? Because God's already set me free. I don't have to do any type of mental ascent. I don't have to sit. You know, the battlefield of the mind, the battle of this and the battle of, listen, I'm telling you, you ain't got a battle anymore. Why battle? If I've already won the battle in my mind, I'm not going to battle in my mind. What that means is if a thought comes to me, I already understand that's not my thought. That's not my thought. You don't think I have thoughts? You don't think thoughts come to me? Temptation, issues, words, when I don't like what my husband says. There was many things I didn't like what my husband said this week. Not because he said anything wrong, because it wasn't how I would do it. Wasn't what I say. Wasn't what I felt. But here's the key. Goes back to what I'm talking. That doorway to get on the other side of the blessing of God for my life. There's a doorway called a priest of my home, and his name is Felix. And if I let him wash me with what the words are coming out of his mouth, it will help direct my life into better promises. So when thoughts come to like, I'm about to light him up with what I'm about to return to him today. Return to sender. I have a choice. Are these my old dead works? Are these the thoughts that I would think if I was not a recreated person? Is this what I would say if maybe I was a wife who was a nag and always pointed out his flaws? Listen, we all have things come to us, but the Bible is clear. Let every thought that exalts itself against what the word tells you to do, cast that thing down and make it obedient to what the Bible says. That's why if addiction comes to you today, you don't have to battle any longer. You can take that thought and say, I'm a new person in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live by faith. What does that mean? I don't feel it. I really want that. But I'm living by faith. I'm not not living by what I feel. I'm not going off my senses in the natural. I've learned to have a sensitive ear to the Holy Ghost. See, that's a basic principle of the gospel. You've been baptized in his love. You've been baptized in forgiveness. You've been baptized in his light. You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And it has nothing to do with how good you are. That's what's so beautiful about the gospel. The gospel is the greatest news that you could ever hear. Because it's not about what you can do so that no one can boast. But it's about what he does through us. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Woo! Say there are things that accompany my salvation. Don't you want that? Salvation is that hope. It's that promise that one day we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. But right now I have things that accompany salvation in my life that it's not for heaven. It's for now. When he broke the curse on the cross, guess what? He broke the curse for you for now. That the blessing of Abraham, what's that? That everywhere I go, I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in and going out. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. My fruit of the womb was blessed. I'm not wanting it to be blessed anymore. Amen. What else? My family's blessed. My children serve the Lord. This is the blessing of Abraham for every person that would step into what God has already done for you. It's a basic principle of the gospel, but we're going to live it today. Amen? What else? Better things, though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. Say, I'm not going to be sluggish. But imitate those through faith and patience inherit the promise. What am I talking about today? That doorway. Who has God placed in your life to follow? What leader? When Jesus walked this planet and he said, I have so much compassion for people because they're just, you know, I have compassion because I love them. I have compassion because, you know, they're beautiful people. He said, I have compassion because they're like sheep with no one to lead them. Do you know the establishment of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was not for any other reason but to give you an understanding of how to model what God wants to do through you? Jesus Christ left his gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for what? For the working, for the equipping, for the empowerment of me, of the body, of people like me, people like you that can grab a hold of what God's called you to do and say, hey, pastor, I know that you are the doorway to where I'm going. And the Bible says if I imitate faith and patience, I will inherit the same promises. This is what he's teaching us. These things right here. Three things. Number one, be diligent to the basic doctrines. I'll read it in New Living. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. In other words, he's trying to encourage you. He's saying stuff like, you know, pastor, I know I'm not talking to you today. I'm talking to the other church down the street. That's kind of what he's saying. But he's really preaching to them. What does he say? It's meant for better things. Verse 10. God is not unjust. Verse 11. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others and that you will not become spiritually dulled and indifferent. What am I saying? This is what's happening in America today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. In the last days, people will love themselves. Paul warned us, in the last days, Jesus warned us. He said, hey, when sin abounds, the love of people are going to grow cold. They're going to be hateful. They're going to be divisive. They're going to be slanderous. They're going to be gossips. It's all about this mouth right here. And he begins to talk about it in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They will be disobedient to parents, unruly. They will be without self-control. They will have a form of godliness but deny the power to change thereof. This is not you today. What am I saying? I'm saying that the principle, the basic principle to not become that person is to receive the righteousness of God, to live a life repented, to understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not for you to speak some weird language. It's for you to have the fire of God on your life every day so that you are not doing the dead works you used to do. And this will help you. He's telling us here how. Be diligent. Don't be sluggish. Don't just, well, I don't want to go to church today. I don't really feel like it. I'm tired. Well, I don't know. I know we should, but I don't want to sign up for that class. You know, I know God's called me to be in ministry, but yeah, I hear he's preaching enough. That's indifferent. It's basically taking what you know is the doorway to reach what God has for you, but acting like you deserve it just because you are born. This is what he's saying. That, you know what reminds me of that? Do you remember the prophet Samuel? Do you remember the priest Eli? What happened in his life? His sons became indifferent. They took the plan of God, the purpose of God, and they took it lightly as if they're just going to be who God's called them to be because of where they were born into. And God says, oh, no, 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 no. Let me help you with something. The plans to reach people is my heart. I'm looking out there. I'm looking at people who are lost and don't have a shepherd. And I'm going to make sure people understand you better have a regard for the fear of the Lord. Because we don't deserve anything we have. So how do I keep myself in the love of God? How do I keep myself living repentant? How do I keep myself making sure that I'm not walking in pride, that I'm not looking at the sins of everybody else and thinking that I'm okay, but I'm not. Because why? I'm not living a repentant life. I'm not trusting Jesus. I'm trusting myself. You know, the highest form of pride in your life right now, no prayer. If you don't have a prayer life today, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to help you understand the basic principles of the gospel. We have to put our trust in Jesus. What does that look like? Oh, I trust Jesus. You haven't even talked to him today. Trusting Jesus doesn't look like, oh, I'll just, you know, sing my favorite song. It's depending on him. Your joy is from him. Your life is from him. Your good day, whether it's good or bad, doesn't come from how good people make you feel. It comes from the presence of the Most High God. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. But when we don't have prayer, don't be mistaken. Prayer is just a fancy word for talking to God. If you don't have a conversation with the one who saved you, with the one who even helped you, with the one who delivered you, with the one who set you free, with the one who actually created you, that's the highest form of pride. You are already headed for destruction. Just mark it. Mark my words, as my dad would say. You want to know if you're going to reach your end goal, if the ought to be, remember what we started with? Is going to happen in your life, better start praying. So if you look around and you realize, I don't even pray, guess what? You're already headed there. Why? Because you don't understand that the repentance of dead works means my life is no longer me. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do, how much money I can make, what feels good to me, how to get a spouse, what kind of kids I want. I want a boy. I want a girl. We have no regard for holiness and what God wants to use through our life. You know what that's called? Indifference. You really think you're living this life because you just deserve what comes to you. We've got to understand that if we believe Jesus, then we believe the words of Jesus. If we believe the Bible, then we actually believe what the Bible says. If we believe there's a God in heaven, then we believe there's a God who wants to of you right now. It's called this temple. Is not something that was formed for your pleasure, but it was formed for his good pleasure so that his spirit could live in you. And this is what he says. Number one, be diligent to the basic principles. Every day, you want to ask yourself today, I don't want to live separated from God, Stacy. I don't want to live outside of his promises. You guys can come up. I don't want to live self-sufficient. I don't want to act like what I'm doing, good works, you know, the serving in the church and the helping pastor is actually what God is wanting out of me and my life. No, he wants you. You know, I thought about that when Miss Deborah was preaching or praying. She was praying, singing. When she was singing, praying this morning, man, I was fired up. Why? Because it's part of my message, but I ain't going to get to it. Why? Because I don't know if your bottoms can handle it. But as she was praying, man, the Holy Ghost welled up in me. You know what he said to me? Because I had another scripture in Leviticus about laying down your life on the altars of God, about making sure the fire of God on your life doesn't go out ever. How do I fan the flame, as Paul told Timothy? Fan the flame, that spiritual gift that was deposited when God laid his hand. Some of you have been at these altars. You've experienced the fire of God. The hand of God has touched your life. You used to shake under the power of God. You know what God's called you to do, but you're indifferent. This is like, I'll get there one day. Let me tell you, God's fire exposes. But here's the key. He says, if you lay your life down on the altar, that's what I'm asking, a living sacrifice. Because the dead things come back to life. That was the amazing thing about Jesus. That's why he could endure the cross. That's why he could endure death. Because he knew the reward on the other side of that thing. He knew if I would just lay down my life, many people would come. See, God's not waiting to pour out his blessing on you at a specific time or a moment. It has everything to do with how willing are you to lay your life down on the altar of God every single day. Let you fan the flame that fire never goes out. And when I began to listen to Ms. Deborah as she was praying, the Holy Ghost welled up and said, you know why people's fire runs out? Because what they put on the altar is what they do. What they put on the altar is their work. What they put on their altar is, hey, God, didn't I do this good enough? And didn't I do this? And look what I did for you. I went to the mission field. I prayed for 10 people. I did this. And he's like, great. Thank you. I appreciate that. But that doesn't keep the fire burning. He says that's stuff like hay and stubble. Anybody try to burn hay and stubble? Let me help you. It burns up really quick, in a second. He wants you. He wants your life. He wants your time. He wants your voice. He wants to spend time with you in the morning, time with you in the daytime. He just wants you to sing to him again. He just wants you to know that through all the stuff you've been through, you are still the light of his life. That there's nothing that brings you greater joy than knowing when you're sitting in his presence that there's a peace that comes on you that it's not from my husband and it's not from my kids and it's not because I have money in the bank, but it's just because I get to receive his presence. I get to feel and sense the fire of God on my life, not because of anything I worked for, but because he's that good and he's that faithful and he's that true. Listen, I want to tell you today, today's your day to be indifferent no more, to be stubborn no more, to be sluggish no more. Today's your day to just receive. Why? Because it's that easy. It's not something you have to figure out and work on and then go try to do. It's something you just decide. It's something you said, I receive Jesus Christ into my life. I believe what your word says about me. And I accept it today. It's the ABC of the gospel. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today that he can do what no man can do. And number three, confess with your mouth, God, please have mercy on me. I know I've made mistakes, but you are the Redeemer. You are the washer of my sin. You are the cleanser of my mind. Oh, you make all things new. I don't have to know what tomorrow looks like, God. I just need to know you're not going to leave me alone. I just don't want to be alone, God. Come and do what no man can do. Come and feel. Listen, I don't know what you're waiting on, but God is asking you to respond today. Put your life back on the altar of God. Why? Just because he loves you. Because you know you can't do this without him. And even if you tried in your own strength, it at the end, the Bible says, it's going to be a work that's burned up by fire. And nothing's going to come of it. God, may that not be us. May that not be Abundant Life. May that not be my family. May that not be my friends. Let that fire of the Holy Ghost always have a place to dwell and burn. Burn out anything that doesn't belong to you, God. Oh, make me an altar today, Father. Come on, just begin to stand to your feet. Lift up your voice. I want to tell you today, if you need to repent from dead works, if you know that you would not see Jesus today, if you were to die right now, there is a chance for you. And his name is Jesus.
Hey, this is Stacey Bonet, and I want to thank you for listening to my podcast. If you'd like to stand with me in taking this gospel message to the world, go to faithworthfollowing.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. I'd love to send you a gift just to say thanks for helping us. Until next time, go make disciples, heal the sick, and preach Jesus to the ends of the earth.